You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Story one. I live out near Bathurst, New South Wales. Been out here most of my life. My name's Daryl. Not much to tell about me. I do some fencing jobs, a bit of clearing, help run sheep on a property outside of town. Hunting's just something I've always done. Mainly pigs, sometimes roosts if the meat's needed. This happened back in late 2006. I remember because it was just after my dog Diesel died, and I'd gone out solo for the first time in a while. Usually I hunted with a mate or two, but that day I just wanted quiet. I went bush out past Genelin, off an old logging track I knew well. Thick pine and scrubland, not a soul around for miles. The pigs had been tearing up the creek beds, which is hell for the waterways. Landowner said he'd seen fresh rooting down near the river bend, so I headed there around midday. I was carrying my old 308, same one I've had since I was 18. Nothing flash. By around 4 in the arvo, I'd spotted 2 pigs near a dry bank, one big sow and a smaller boar. They were maybe 30, 35 meters off, rooting through the soil like they owned it. I got down low, stayed real still. Wind was in my favor, barely any noise except the odd fly and some cockatoos carrying on above me. Just as I was lining up the sow, both pigs stopped, ears stiff, snouts up. Then they bolted, hard. I mean full panic. Not a startled jump, not a trot. They bolted like something had already taken a bite out of them. No shot fired, no scent from me. They just vanished into the scrub like their arses were on fire. I stood up, confused. Not a damn clue what had spooked them. I scanned the tree line, checked the wind. Nothing. Dead quiet now. No birds. Not even the cicadas. I stood there listening, rifle up. The stillness hit me first. No echo. No rustle. Just gone. Like the bush had suddenly stopped breathing. I remember thinking maybe a wild dog had come through. Or worse, a feral cat. You get some big bastards out there, but there was no movement, no scent, no sound, nothing. I figured maybe I'd lost my shot and that was it for the day. Sun was dropping low, and I wasn't keen on trekking back in full dark, so I started heading back to my ute parked on the fire trail, about a 30-minute walk through the pines. Now this next bit, I've told it maybe twice since it happened. Most people just reckon I was overtired, maybe heard a wombat fight or a big roo cough. But I know what I heard. About 10 minutes into the walk back, I heard a growl. Not a bark, not a snort. A growl. Deep, throaty, and loud enough to vibrate through the ground. Like when you're too close to a speaker at a concert. I froze mid-step. It was off to my right, maybe 30 meters into the scrub. Thick pine, couldn't see a thing past the first few trees, but it sounded big. My first thought, wild dog. But I've been around plenty of dogs, feral or not. This wasn't it. The sound was wrong. It wasn't even a canine growl, not really. It was lower, heavier. Best way I can describe it, it sounded like a lion. One of those deep, wet growls you hear in documentaries right before a kill. But there's no bloody lions in Australia, I know that. And still, there it was. I remember whispering, "What the fuck?" before slowly raising my rifle. Heart was thumping. I waited, 5 seconds, 10, no movement. Then, silence again. Worse than before. That kind of silence that feels intentional, if that makes sense. I took a few steps backward, keeping the trees to my left. The shadows were longer now. Sun was barely skimming the treetops. I was sweating like a bastard. Every branch crunch under my boots sounded like a gunshot, and the whole time I kept waiting to hear it again. That sound, that thing. Nothing. But the silence didn't lift. No cockatoos, no galas, no bloody insects. I couldn't even hear my own breathing. That's what got me most. It was like the bush had muted itself, like something didn't want me to know where it was. Then something snapped in the scrub off to my left. Not a twig, a branch, like it had been stepped on or crushed. I spun, rifle ready, but there was still nothing, not even wind. Just that dead, horrible stillness pressing in. I've never run from anything in the bush. Not roos, not boars, not snakes, not even bloody spiders the size of your hand. But that night, I ran. I walked as fast as I could without breaking into a sprint. Rifle half raised the whole time, eyes darting to every tree shadow that looked wrong. It followed me. I didn't see it. I didn't hear it walk. But every 30, 40 meters, I'd hear that same deep growl. Always behind me, always just out of view, like it was letting me know it was still there. Just a little closer each time. I never turned my back, never stopped moving. When I finally hit the fire trail and saw the glint of my ute side mirror, I nearly collapsed. I climbed in, slammed the door, locked it, and sat there for a solid 10 minutes, engine off, rifle across my lap. Silence. And then just before I started the engine, something moved in the trees across from the ute. Maybe 15 meters back. Too dark to see what. Just the outline of something tall. Not man-shaped. Not animal-shaped. Just wrong. Taller than a man. Too broad at the shoulders. No ears. No snout. Like a shadow that had peeled itself off the trees. I started the engine, floored it, and didn't stop till I hit the bitumen. I never went back there. Not once. That whole section past Jenolan, people say it's haunted or cursed or some old aboriginal land no one should be stomping on. I don't know. I don't care. Whatever's out there, it's not meant to be seen, not meant to be heard, and definitely not meant to be followed. I've hunted all over the Central Tablelands since, but not there. Never again. Whatever was in those woods that day, it wasn't from here, and the pigs knew it first. Story 2. I live in north central Pennsylvania, Lycoming County. Grew up here, stayed here, hunt here. You get used to the silence out in the woods, the stillness that city people find eerie. But sometimes the woods go too quiet, and that's when you know something's not right. This happened 3 years ago at Deer Camp. Our camp's a beat-up trailer tucked into the trees about half a mile off the state road. Nothing fancy. Generator, wood stove, one bare bulb hanging over a table with too many empty beer cans. We set it up years ago near the line to the state game lands. You walk about 100 yards through the brush and you're in thousands of acres of nothing. It was late, like after midnight. We'd already hunted all day and were just sitting around the fire, drinking and bullshitting. Most of the guys had gone to bed. It was just me and my buddy Travis left, sitting on those old fold-out camp chairs, poking the coals with sticks. It was cold enough to see our breath, and the whiskey wasn't helping much anymore. We'd been hearing coyotes all night. No big deal. They're always running something. The howling had been getting closer, though, and louder. They must have been chasing a deer through the brush, maybe 200 yards off. You could hear them yipping and crying like they were ripping something apart. It gets under your skin after a while, even if you've heard it before. Just something about that many predators screaming in the dark. Then out of nowhere, it all just stopped. I mean completely silent. 1 second it's a goddamn war zone of coyote noise. The next, nothing. Not a bird, not a cricket, not even wind. Just this thick, pressing quiet that made my ears ring. Travis looked over at me and said, "Did they just stop?" I nodded, but neither of us moved. We just kind of sat there, staring at the fire. I was sitting with my back to the woods. There's maybe 3 feet of brush between me and pitch black timber. You know how when silence stretches too long, it gets heavy, like the air's thicker? That's how it felt. Still, we kept talking, kind of half laughing it off. He told some dumb story about his uncle shitting himself in a tree stand once, and we both cracked up. But there was this edge to our voices. I think we both felt it, that something wasn't right. Then it happened. Loud crack, like a branch snapping under something heavy, directly behind me. Close enough I could feel the ground under my boots tremble just a little. I froze. Travis went dead quiet too. We stared at each other. Neither of us even blinked. "Dude," he whispered. I didn't say anything, just started to turn my head, slow as hell, toward the sound. My heart was punching my ribs so hard I thought it might knock me over. I didn't want to look. I had to look. And then something moved. It wasn't a deer, wasn't a bear. It was low and fast, but too big to be anything natural. Grayish white, kind of hunched, and it bolted from the brush straight past the edge of the firelight like it knew exactly how far to stay out of sight.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
No noise, just a blur of pale flesh and a gust of cold air that smelled like wet leaves and copper. Gone in a flash. I whipped around in my chair, but it was already out of sight, back into the tree line. My ears were ringing again, but harder now, like pressure building in my head. I didn't know what to say. Travis just kept staring at the spot like if he looked long enough, it had come back. Neither of us spoke for a good 10 seconds. Then Travis just said, flat as hell, "Yup, bedtime." We both laughed, but it wasn't real. Just that nervous kind of laugh you do when your body doesn't know if it should run or puke. We gathered our drinks, didn't say another word, and went into the trailer. Didn't even look back toward the woods. I locked the door that night. Never done that before. Story 3. I grew up in southern Indiana. Pretty quiet area. A lot of woods, cornfields, old barns falling apart, and not much else. We had a family tradition. Opening weekend of deer season, we hunt. My Uncle Randy was the real outdoorsman in the family. I was 16 at the time and only on my second hunt. I'd taken the hunter safety course, knew how to handle a rifle, and I was excited as hell just to sit in that stand with him. We were out on a piece of leased property Randy had been hunting for years. He called it the Flats. It was mostly open, with patches of thick brush and pines along the edges. Our stand was maybe 12 feet up in an old oak, facing two clearings, one right in front of us, another stretching off to the right. It had snowed the night before, so everything was quiet, and the air had that heavy, muffled feel. Around 7:30, the woods started waking up, squirrels skittering, some turkeys gobbling off in the distance. I saw a fox trotting along the tree line once, tail high like it owned the place. I remember thinking how alive everything felt. I was grinning like an idiot, trying not to make noise, and Randy just sat there chewing sunflower seeds, totally calm. At one point, a young deer stepped out into the far clearing, maybe 200 yards out. I raised my rifle automatically, but Randy shook his head and whispered, "Too far and too small." So I lowered it and just watched it. It was kind of beautiful, honestly. It was nosing around the ground, tail flicking back and forth. No fear, just doing its thing. And then everything went dead quiet. No wind, no birds. It was like the forest held its breath. That's when the brush on the far edge exploded. I didn't even have time to react. Something massive lunged out, black blur, muscles and claws and just raw speed, and slammed into the deer. It didn't make a sound, just dropped. 1 second it was standing, next it was on the ground, neck bent back, legs twitching. Whatever hit it pulled it into the brush like it weighed nothing. 3 seconds. That's how long it took. I didn't breathe. I couldn't. Randy didn't say a word, but I looked over at him and his eyes were wide. Not panicked, but locked in. "Was that a bear?" I whispered. He didn't answer right away, just kept staring at the brush. Then finally, "Don't move. Don't make a sound." We sat there another half hour, maybe more. Every minute that passed, I thought I was going to puke. I couldn't stop replaying it. The thing had moved so fast, there hadn't been a warning. No snapping branches, no growl, nothing. It just appeared and disappeared again. Eventually, Randy leaned in and whispered, "We're done. Let's go." We packed up slow, quiet, didn't talk. Walked back to the truck, which was parked maybe 100 yards behind us, up on a little ridge. By the time we reached it, the morning sun had gotten stronger, cutting through the chill. I tried to shake it off, convince myself it was just a bear, a really big, freakishly fast bear. Randy didn't say otherwise, but I could tell by the way he kept scanning the woods that he wasn't buying it either. I tossed my rifle in the truck bed and stretched, trying to calm myself down. Took a breath, tried to appreciate the sun on my face. That kind of fake relaxation you do when you're trying not to freak out. Then I noticed something. Off in the tree line, same direction as that clearing, weird shape, half hidden behind a thicket of saplings. My eyes locked onto it without even thinking. I don't know how to explain it. It was like my brain recognized it before I did. There was something watching us, and then it moved. A massive black head slowly pushed out from behind the brush. It was that same thing, same creature. Blood caked all around its mouth, dark and crusted. Its eyes were just wrong, like too human or too aware. Not like a bear at all. It didn't blink. It didn't flinch. Just stared. I remember my knees locking up. I couldn't even yell. Then Randy saw it too. I didn't need to say anything. He grabbed my jacket and yanked me into the truck, slammed the door and jammed the key into the ignition so hard I thought it'd snap. We didn't drive away right away. We just sat there, both of us looking through the rear window. That thing was still there, watching. Then it backed up into the brush and vanished, like it never existed. We didn't talk the whole drive back, not until we were almost home and Randy lit a cigarette with shaking hands. I asked him, "That wasn't a bear, was it?" He just said, "I don't know what the hell that was, and I don't want to." I never went back to those woods. Randy still hunts, but not out there. He sold the lease the next week. I haven't told a lot of people about this, not because I'm scared they'll call me crazy. I am crazy for staying out there as long as I did, but because I honestly don't think most people want to believe stuff like this exists. Something that big, that fast, that smart, and you don't even hear it coming. We weren't hunting that morning. We were being watched. Story 4. I live in northern Minnesota, about 30 minutes out from Duluth. Woods here don't play around. They're thick, quiet, and old. When they go still, it's like the world just forgets to breathe. I've hunted since I was a kid, deer, grouse, whatever was in season. I don't scare easy, or I didn't until that one night in 2013. I was 16, just got my solo license and thought I was hot shit. My dad let me hunt a patch we owned about 3 miles into the woods behind our cabin. It's a narrow strip with one old metal ladder stand facing a long game trail that cuts through a grove of spruce. Not a big patch, but enough that if you hit a deer, it'd drop right in front of you. That evening, Dad said he'd be back by sundown. I packed light, rifle, knife, flashlight, water. I even remember laughing on the hike in, just full of myself. I climbed into the stand around 3:30. Sun was already low. I saw a doe around 5, too far to take a clean shot. That's all I saw. And then the woods got quiet. Not dark, just quiet. No birds, no wind, no bugs, just dead air. I figured maybe a coyote or bear was close, so I stayed still, but nothing showed. The silence hung there like wet cloth. I remember looking at my watch. It was 6:17. Dad was late. No big deal, right? He did that sometimes, but I was cold and annoyed, and I kept glancing down the trail, hoping to see his flashlight coming. Instead, I heard something moving behind my stand. I froze. Whatever it was moved slow. Not big enough to be a deer, not small enough to be a squirrel. Crunch, drag, crunch, drag. Like it was limping. I slowly turned to look over my shoulder, but the metal of the stand creaked just a little. The noise stopped. That silence again. I held my breath. Then it whispered my name. No joke. Clear as day, like someone crouched right at the base of my tree. It was my full name, first and last. Not yelled, just said, soft and low, like someone testing it out. I didn't move, didn't blink. I just kept my hand on the stock of my rifle and tried to figure out if my dad was messing with me. But the voice, it wasn't his. It was off, too quiet and too sharp at the same time, like it was playing in my head instead of through my ears. I finally turned all the way and looked down. Nothing. No one. My flashlight was in my backpack, zipped up and hanging from a hook on the stand. I reached for it, slow and shaking, and as soon as my fingers touched the zipper, the voice said my name again, this time louder. Same tone, same speed. Still no one there. That zipper stayed closed. I aimed my rifle straight down, shaking bad now, trying to control my breathing. I kept whispering, "Dad, is that you?" over and over. But the thing never answered. It just stood, or floated, or crouched, or existed, right out of sight, waiting. Then it started walking again. One crunch, two. Then the dragging noise, like wet fabric across dead leaves. But I swear to God, there were no footsteps, just the sound of them. I couldn't take it. I screamed, "You better say who you are or I'm shooting." And I meant it. I was ready to fire. But then it went dead silent again. Just gone. I don't know how long I sat there. It felt like an hour, but I think it was maybe 10 minutes. I was drenched in sweat, freezing. I didn't even care if I gave away my position to a deer. I climbed down, grabbed my pack, and ran. Full sprint, back through brush, over branches, stumbling and panicking like a deer in a trap. I didn't stop until I saw the back porch light of the cabin. My dad was there, casually cleaning his boots. He asked me why I was so pale. I didn't even know what to say. I told him someone was out there. He looked confused but went out with his shotgun to check. Found nothing. Not a print. Not a broken branch. I never hunted alone again. Not out there. But that's not the part that messes with me. Not even the voice. What messes with me is what happened 2 weeks later. My mom was going through the storage room and found this old home video. VHS tape from when I was six. A birthday party. My cousin filming. At one point, I run past the camera and someone says my full name. Same tone. Same speed. Same weird sharp softness. But it wasn't anyone in the room. She played it three times. Then she turned it off and asked, "Did you hear that?" I just nodded. She hasn't mentioned it again, and neither have I. Story 5. I've lived in Montana my whole life, outside of Kalispell, about 30 minutes from Glacier. I hunt elk every fall. Same trailheads, same draws, same patterns. It's not a sport to me. It's food. It's what I grew up doing with my dad, and now that he's gone, it's how I stay close to him, if that makes sense. Anyway, this happened in October 2022, during a solo hunt. I'd gotten up around 2:45 a.m., brewed coffee, loaded the 308, and hiked in while it was still dark. I usually park off a Forest Service road, then hike in about 5 miles. It's quiet country, nothing but lodgepole pines, rock shelves, and the occasional stream. I've never once seen another hunter that far back, not in all the years I've done it. That day was weird from the start, though. The woods felt off, and I know how that sounds, but hunters know what I mean. The kind of quiet that feels too quiet, like everything's holding its breath. No birds, no squirrels, not even wind. It was just dead still. I brushed it off, figured maybe a storm was coming in. I kept going. By 11 a.m., I'd seen nothing. Not a track. Not a single fresh rub. That's rare up there in the high basins. It's usually crawling with sign. Still, I pressed on. Sat on a ridge until about 2, then decided to start making my way back to the truck. I hadn't eaten since breakfast and was starting to feel lightheaded. The draw I came down runs about 2 miles, with a narrow game trail and a steep cliff wall on the right. I've walked it probably 100 times, but halfway down, I got this feeling, like a weight dropped in my chest. It wasn't panic yet, but my skin went cold, like I just walked into a freezer. You ever feel so watched that it starts making your teeth hurt? That kind of feeling. I slowed down, scanned the cliff line, didn't see anything, but I knew something was up there. Then maybe 50 feet ahead, I saw her. She was sitting perfectly still, just above the ledge. Not crouched, not snarling, just sitting on her haunches, like a damn dog. But she wasn't a dog. She wasn't anything I'd seen in the woods before. From the distance, I thought mountain lion at first, but something was wrong with her shape. Her limbs were too long. Her head was wrong. Her neck was, God, it was too human. She was staring directly at me. She didn't blink, didn't move, just stared. I stared back, completely frozen. I've come face to face with grizzlies before and didn't feel half as scared as I did in that moment. I tried to raise my rifle, not even to shoot, just to do something, but my arms felt useless, like my body didn't want to move. I don't know how long we stood there, maybe minutes, maybe longer. The sun shifted enough that shadows moved across the rocks, so I know it wasn't just a few seconds. Then she stood, not like an animal. She rose upright, two legs. That's when I realized her eyes weren't reflecting light. They were just black, matte black, like ink or oil. I couldn't even tell where they started or ended. She didn't turn her head, didn't tilt it, just looked at me, then turned around and, this part's hard to explain, she didn't walk away. She didn't move away. She just turned, and she wasn't there anymore. No sound, no footprints, just gone. I stood there, rifle shaking in my hands, stomach threatening to turn inside out. Finally, I forced myself to start walking. I didn't run. I didn't even have the energy to. I just walked, slow and stiff, until I saw the bumper of my truck poking out from behind the pines. Climbed in, locked the doors, sat in the driver's seat until dark. Didn't start the engine for at least an hour. When I finally got home, my wife said I looked gray, like something was wrong with my blood. I didn't tell her the full story, just said I didn't see any elk and might be coming down with something. I spent the next 3 nights awake, every sound outside sending me into a cold sweat. I kept dreaming of black eyes watching me from the tree line. Here's the part that messes with me most. I went back 2 weeks later, couldn't help it. I needed to see that place again, needed to convince myself I'd imagined it. I hiked back up that same draw, stood at the same spot. There were no prints, no disturbed dirt, nothing to prove anything had been there. But someone or something had left a pile of bones near the base of the cliff. Stripped clean, stacked in a neat little tower, like a cairn. That's when I finally accepted it. I don't go up there anymore. I hunt the flatlands now, closer to the roads, where the trees are thinner, and I can see the horizon in every direction. I know what I saw. Story 6. I grew up in Lone Pine, California. Tiny town, one gas station, mountains on every side. You hunt, fish, or sit around getting into trouble. Me, I hunt. Been doing it since I was 12. Archery, mostly. Something about the silence, the discipline. But I've never gone out alone again after what happened 2 years ago during archery season up in the Eastern Sierra. I had a few days off work and figured I'd hike out to a remote spot near Cottonwood Lakes. No trails, no campgrounds, no people. I knew the land well. I'd been in that stretch of forest plenty of times with my dad before he passed. The kind of place where, if something goes wrong, no one's going to find you for a while. And honestly, that's how I liked it. I packed light, hammock, tarp, food, and my compound bow. In California, if you're hunting with an archery-only tag, you're not allowed to carry a sidearm. That's the law. I'd always thought it was dumb, but I never really felt unsafe out there until that night. By sundown, I had set up camp in a grove of Jeffrey pines, big, towering things that creak even when there's no wind. I strung my hammock between two of them, maybe 6 feet off the ground. It was quiet, just the occasional rustle of leaves or chirp of a bird bedding down, the kind of silence that swallows sound. I dozed off listening to the trees sway. Then I heard it. A scream, not human, not quite animal either. It cut through the dark like it was right above me. Not just loud, it was wrong. Like someone being torn apart slowly, but there was a rage to it. I sat up in the hammock so fast I nearly flipped out. I couldn't see anything, just blackness and trees. Then it screamed again, louder, closer. My first thought was mountain lion, because I've heard them before. But this didn't match. This sounded like it echoed inside my skull. I could feel it in my chest. I reached down for my bow. My hand was shaking, and I remember thinking, this is stupid. This is really stupid. I had no protection if something decided to get curious. And then the third scream came from behind me. I froze. Whatever it was moving, fast, circling. But I never heard footsteps, no cracking branches, just the damn scream coming every 30, 40 seconds, each time from a new direction. It felt like it was playing with me. I stayed in the hammock, barely breathing, didn't want to move, didn't want to rustle the tarp above me. I kept my eyes scanning, but I couldn't see Jack, just trees and shadows. Then I caught a glimpse of something to my right, maybe 30 feet out. Not movement exactly, but a shift, like something darker than dark. And then the next scream came from my left. I don't know how long it went on. Felt like forever. Maybe 20 minutes. Always that same scream. Rage, pain, something else I still can't put into words. I just remember feeling like I was being hunted. Not by an animal, by something that wanted me to know it was out there. Something that enjoyed it. Then, nothing. Just silence. Not the usual forest quiet. This was dead silence, like everything else shut up and left. Even the wind stopped. I remember realizing my ears were ringing, like after a concert, because the sudden quiet was that sharp. I sat in that hammock till the sun started to rise. Didn't sleep, didn't move. As soon as I could see, I packed up. Didn't eat, didn't drink. Just grabbed everything and hiked out as fast as I could. I never looked back. When I got to cell service, I called a buddy of mine who works with fish and wildlife, told him what I heard. He asked if I was sure it wasn't a mountain lion. I told him I've heard those before. This wasn't that. It had a human quality, not in the sound, but in the intent. He was quiet for a second and said, "You're not the first one to report that kind of thing up there." I asked him what he meant. He wouldn't say more. Later that week, I went on YouTube, looked up mountain lion screams just to prove to myself I wasn't losing it. Some of them were close, yeah, but not that close. Not the way it moved, not the way it seemed to toy with me. Something about it was smarter, crueler. I haven't gone back out alone since then, and I never hunt without a sidearm anymore, even if it's illegal. I'll take the ticket over feeling that helpless again. I don't know what the hell it was. Don't really care anymore. I just know it wasn't right. Story 7. I live up in Lander, Wyoming. I do a lot of solo bow hunting in the Wind River Range, mostly elk, sometimes mule deer. I'm not some big YouTuber or wannabe survival guru. I just hunt, quietly, like my dad taught me. I don't normally share stories, but this one stuck with me like a burr under the skin. I only told my brother once, and he looked at me like I needed sleep and a drink. Maybe I did. This happened 3 seasons ago, late September. I was up around 11,500 feet, just above the tree line, glassing a basin below me. That stretch of wilderness is brutal but gorgeous. Nothing but jagged granite, scree slopes, in alpine silence. The sky had been crystal clear when I left camp that morning. Around midday, I was tucked into a notch in the rocks, sun on my back, watching a cow and calf meander near a creek about a half mile down. Then, something shifted. Not the wind. Not the weather. Not yet. Just this feeling, like static under my skin. My bow was resting on the rocks next to me, and I remember reaching over and holding it without really thinking about why. No reason, just instinct. And then I noticed it. Everything had gone completely silent. No marmots whistling, no wind whispering through the krumholz. Even the cow and calf had stopped moving, just frozen mid-step like statues. I glanced over my shoulder to check the sky, and that's when my stomach dropped. Behind me, where it had been sunny and blue a few minutes ago, was now almost pitch black, like midnight black, clouds boiling up fast, way too fast for normal weather. I stood up and felt a gust of freezing air hit me so hard it sucked the air from my chest. Then came the thunder. It sounded like it was right on top of me, so loud I felt it in my bones. I didn't wait around. I strapped my bow and tripod to my pack as fast as I could and started down the scree slope. You don't mess around at that elevation during a lightning storm. There's nowhere to hide. No cover. Just exposed granite and you, lit up like a damn lightning rod. The slope was slick, half frozen, half loose gravel. I slipped and slid my way toward the tree line, crouching low, trying not to be the tallest thing out there. I was aiming for a cluster of stunted fir trees about 500 yards below, but I was barely 200 yards down when the first bolt hit. It didn't just flash. It ripped through the air like it was tearing the sky apart. It hit a rock outcropping maybe 100 yards away and blew it to dust. I ducked hard and kept moving, legs shaking like rubber. I was so focused on not dying that I almost didn't see it. About halfway down, I caught movement out of the corner of my eye. Something crawling up the slope to my left, just above the boulders. I thought it was a goat or maybe a bear at first, until it stood up. It was tall, taller than any person I've ever seen. Skinny, almost gaunt, with joints that didn't move right. Like it was wearing a human body but didn't know how to use it properly. Its skin, I couldn't see details with the rain, but it looked grayish and wet, like rawhide left out too long. No clothes, no gear, no sound. Just standing there, maybe 30 yards away, half shrouded in mist and sleet, staring straight at me. I froze. My first thought was that I'd hit my head or was hallucinating. I mean, lightning was popping off every 30 seconds. But then it moved, fast, not running. Just there 1 second and then 10 feet closer. No noise, no crunch of rocks, nothing. I don't know what it was. I don't even know if it was real. But I swear to God, that thing smiled. Not with its mouth. It didn't even have a proper mouth. It was like the entire face twisted, like something pretending to smile but not understanding how. Then it crouched, and I ran. I ran so hard my lungs felt like they were bleeding. I slipped and crashed into the rocks more than once, but I didn't stop. I didn't even look back. I just sprinted for the tree line like something was inches behind me. I didn't feel it chasing me, but I knew that if I stopped, even for a second, it would be right there. When I finally hit the tree line, I didn't stop running until I was deep in the timber. Maybe a half mile in. I don't remember much after that. I collapsed against a fallen log and dry heaved for 10 straight minutes. The storm passed as fast as it came. Just gone. Like it had never been there. I stayed in the trees till nightfall. No sign of elk, no more thunder, no strange thing crawling over the rocks. Just me in the cold, shaking like I was coming down from something. I hiked back to camp in the dark and packed up before sunrise. Drove home without even tagging out. Haven't been back to that ridge since. Probably never will. I don't know what I saw. Maybe it was the lightning messing with my head. Maybe I was hypoxic or having some kind of altitude freakout. But I don't think so. I've spent half my life in those mountains. I know what fear feels like. I know what predators look like. Story 8. I've lived on this land my whole life. Fourth generation. My family runs cattle in northern Nebraska, where the wind never seems to stop and the nights stretch wider than the sky should allow. Out here, it's not uncommon to check the herd at night, especially during calving season. You do it because you have to, but I can tell you, there's a kind of darkness that doesn't feel natural, and I ran into it 3 winters ago. I wasn't even thinking about danger that night. It was around 2:30 a.m. I'd fallen asleep in my chair with my boots still on and woke up to the radio buzzing about dropping temps. It was calving season, and my dad had asked me to check the east pasture every few hours. Some of the heifers were close, and he didn't want any calves freezing to death before sunrise. I slipped on a coat, grabbed my flashlight, and walked out into the cold. The light had been flickering earlier that evening, and I figured I'd just use the moonlight if it crapped out again. There was a full moon anyway, icy clear and casting those long shadows that make everything look sharper than it really is. The cattle were mostly quiet, huddled near the fence line. I counted what I could see, scanning for any heifer that had pulled away from the group. There's a stand of trees near the far end of the property, thick, older cottonwoods. The fence runs right up beside them, and sometimes the cattle wander over there to calve. I made my way along the fence, listening to the sound of my boots crunching frost. That's when I noticed it was too quiet. You know how sound carries differently in the cold? Well, even with that, I realized I couldn't hear the cows anymore. No movement, no breathing, nothing, just my boots. As I got closer to the trees, my flashlight finally died for good. I tapped it, shook it, nothing. So I pulled out my phone, not for light at first, but to record a video. I don't know why I started filming, maybe just habit. I flipped the camera on and turned on the flash. That's when I heard it. A growl. Not like anything I've ever heard in my life. It wasn't a warning growl, not like a dog protecting territory. This was deeper, lower. Felt like it came from inside the trees, but also like it was surrounding me at the same time. It didn't rise or fall, didn't waver. Just one long, steady, awful sound. Like whatever it was, it wanted me to hear it. Wanted me to know it was there. My whole body locked up. I mean, I've dealt with coyotes, mountain lions. We even had a rabid fox once. But this was different. It made every hair on my neck stand up. My body was screaming to run, but my legs wouldn't work right. So I started recording, slowly panning the phone toward the trees. The flashlight only hit the first line of trunks. Beyond that, blackness. I couldn't see any eyes, couldn't hear any movement. Just that sound. That inhuman growl, like it came from something too big to be natural. But here's the thing that really messed me up. The trees were swaying. There was no wind. They shifted back and forth gently, like something was moving between them. Something big. I took a step back, and the growl got louder. Not higher pitched, just closer. I whispered, "Nope," to myself and backed away slowly, keeping the camera pointed toward the trees, praying that whatever it was couldn't cross the fence. Then I heard a snap, like a heavy branch breaking, but higher up. Way too high. That's when I realized whatever was in there wasn't crawling. It was standing. I turned and walked. Didn't run, not yet. But with every step I took, I could feel it following me. Not with sound, not with footsteps. Just that pressure, that presence behind me, like the air was thick and watching me. I reached the barn, slammed the door behind me, and finally let myself breathe. Inside, I reviewed the footage. The video didn't show much, just trees, shadows, but the audio caught everything. The growl, it came through clear, too clear, almost like it wasn't recorded through the mic, but embedded directly into the file. I can't describe it better than that. It sounded too close, too crisp, too impossible. I showed it to my dad the next morning. He's not a superstitious man, Vietnam vet, tough as nails, but his face went pale when he heard it. He didn't say a word, just handed the phone back and told me to stay away from that tree line for a while. Said we'd move the cattle out of that area. A few days later, we found claw marks, deep, ragged, and high up on one of the cottonwoods. Way too high for any known predator out here. No tracks in the snow, no signs of struggle, just gouges like something had reached down, not up. I never go out there alone anymore, and I never do night checks without a gun, even if it's just a pistol. Not that I think it'd do much good against whatever that was. I don't know if it was some kind of animal no one's cataloged yet, or something older, worse. Folks around here talk about skinwalkers or spirits tied to the land. I always rolled my eyes at that stuff, until that night. Now I don't laugh. I just keep my distance, and I never ever ignore that feeling again. That sense that something's watching, waiting, just behind the trees. Story 9. I live just outside of Asheville, North Carolina, past the suburbs where paved roads turn to gravel, and gravel disappears into old dirt trails that thread through miles of thick woods. I've never been much of a hunter, but I run those trails to clear my head after long shifts at the clinic. You get used to the quiet, the feeling of isolation. Usually it's peaceful. This happened in early fall, right before the leaves turned. The air was cool, but not cold. I remember that detail because I wasn't wearing a jacket, just a long-sleeve running shirt and shorts. I had the trail to myself, like always. The road I chose that day ran about 7 miles straight into nowhere, lined with dense pine and swampy undergrowth on both sides. No houses, no driveways, no power lines, just woods. My plan was to run 2 miles in, then double back. That's my usual. I don't carry much, just my phone in a belt pouch and pepper spray clipped to my waistband, more for stray dogs than anything else. Everything was normal until I hit the halfway point and turned around. About a mile into my return, I saw something ahead, a glint of sunlight on metal. As I got closer, I realized it was a vehicle. That alone was weird as hell. Nobody ever drives down this road. It's not connected to anything. But sure enough, a white van had just come around the bend maybe a half mile ahead. The way it pulled up immediately set me on edge. It didn't keep driving. Instead, it turned sharply, almost deliberately, and angled itself across the dirt road, blocking the path entirely. It wasn't parked like someone had car trouble. It was positioned like a barricade. Then before I could even process what I was looking at, someone got out of the driver's side. He was dressed in all black, black hoodie, black pants. I couldn't see his face. He stepped around to the back of the van and disappeared behind it like he was hiding, like he didn't want me to see him. My gut dropped. It was like hitting a wall of ice. I slowed down instinctively but didn't stop. My body kept moving, but my brain was already screaming at me. Something was wrong. This wasn't some lost driver. This was intentional. There was nowhere to go. The woods were too thick and swampy on either side. No way to cut through, not quickly. I glanced behind me, miles of empty road. If I turned around, I was giving whoever that was a full mile of open space to catch me in a van. I pulled my phone from my pouch and unlocked it as I ran, just in case. I thought about calling 911, but what would I even say? There's a guy in a van who might do something? I don't think I've ever felt more exposed in my life. My hands were shaking. I kept my eyes on the tree line, like maybe there'd be a trail I hadn't seen, some way off the road. There wasn't. I kept running. I moved as far off the road as I could without slipping into the marshy ditch, trying to create space between me and the van. I remember the exact sound of my footsteps crunching on loose gravel, how loud it felt in that dead quiet. When I was maybe 30 feet from the van, the back door creaked open. Just a little. It didn't swing out dramatically or anything. Just enough to let someone peek through. I didn't stop to see who it was. I just kept running, my eyes locked on the tree line across from me. But I heard him. A voice. It wasn't a shout. It wasn't even loud. It was like he was whispering, but somehow I heard it clear as day. He said, "Stop." That's it. One word. I didn't stop. I didn't even glance. I was too afraid I'd freeze up or fall. I just pushed everything I had into my legs and sprinted. When I passed the van, I could feel someone watching me. I didn't hear footsteps, didn't hear the engine. But something told me that if I turned around, I'd see him standing in the middle of the road. I didn't turn. I ran until I hit the edge of the woods until the first glimpse of a house came into view. An old farmhouse with a broken fence. I bolted straight up the gravel drive, banged on the door like a madman. Nobody answered. I didn't stop. I ran the next mile back to my car parked near the main road. By the time I got there, I couldn't breathe. I sat on the hood for 5 minutes, clutching my phone, trying to convince myself it was nothing. Maybe he was just some weirdo taking a nap. Maybe I overreacted. I drove home shaking. Story 10. People always assume the scariest part of hunting out here in Montana is the animals. Grizzlies, cougars, wolves. Sure, they're dangerous. But if you've spent enough time in the woods, you know how to read signs, how to move quietly, how to stay out of trouble. What most people don't expect is the other stuff. The stuff you can't explain. I've hunted these woods since I was 13. I'm 34 now. My old man raised me on elk meat and stories about things that lived deeper in. I never thought much of them. He was old school, superstitious even. Thought the forest had rules you shouldn't break, places you shouldn't go unless invited. Anyway, this happened about 5 years ago. October. Prime elk season. I'd driven up from Kalispell with my buddy Kyle. We were bow hunting, so that meant extra stealth, long hikes, and camping way off grid. We set up base deep in the Kootenai National Forest. No cell signal, no trails, nothing but us, our packs, and miles of untouched wilderness. We spent most of the day glassing from a ridge, spotted a bull across the valley, and decided to loop around to get the wind right. That took hours. The terrain was nasty. Steep inclines, deadfall everywhere, no paths. But we finally got close enough for a shot right before sunset. I dropped the bull clean, and we fist-bumped like idiots, not realizing how fast the light was dying. By the time we finished gutting and quartering the elk, it was pitch black. We strapped the meat to our packs, at least 100 pounds each, and started moving back toward camp. We had GPS, but it was acting glitchy. The screen kept flashing, bouncing our location all over the place. I chalked it up to the steep canyon walls messing with the signal. That's when we heard it. Heavy footsteps behind us. Not crashing like an elk, not quick like a deer. Just slow, steady movement, mirroring us. Kyle froze. You hear that? I nodded. Yeah, could be a bear. He swept his flashlight around, but the beam barely made a dent in the darkness. Just endless trees, the smell of blood and pine, and that sound, crunch, crunch, crunch. We picked up the pace. The sound kept up, always just out of sight. We never heard it breathe, never heard a growl, just those footsteps, like it didn't care if we knew it was there. Let's ditch the meat, Kyle whispered. We're not leaving it. We hike this out, or it gets picked clean. I wish we had ditched it. About 30 minutes into the hike, we crested a low ridge and looked down onto a dried-out creek bed. That's when we saw it. Something was standing in the middle of the creek, maybe 20 yards ahead of us. Not a bear, not a cougar. Taller than a man, but thin, too thin. Its head turned toward us, and even though our lights didn't reach it, I swear it reflected something. Eye shine, but not like any animal I know. Pale, almost gray-blue. It didn't move, just stood.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
There, head tilted slightly like it was trying to figure us out. Kyle whispered, "What the hell is that?" I didn't answer. My chest felt tight, like something inside me knew this wasn't right. We backed up, moving slow. Didn't make a sound. It took a step toward us. We turned and ran. I don't remember how far we went. My legs burned, lungs on fire, heart beating so loud it drowned out everything else. The packs bounced against our backs, and we finally dropped them without a word. Just ran. Eventually, we hit the edge of a clearing, our camp. The little tent was barely visible in the dark. I grabbed the lantern and turned it on, flooding the clearing with white light. There was nothing behind us, nothing we could see, but we hadn't imagined it. We knew we hadn't. Kyle dropped to the ground, shaking. We need to leave, right now. I'm not hiking out in the dark. Whatever that was, we're safer with light. We sat back to back with the lantern between us, rifles in our laps, and just waited. We didn't talk, didn't blink. Every twig snap in the woods made us flinch. At some point, must have been an hour later, we heard it again. Footsteps. But this time it didn't try to hide. It circled the clearing, not running, not rushing, just walking. We couldn't see it. The light didn't reach far enough, but it kept just outside the beam, around and around like it was pacing, waiting. Then it stopped. I held my breath. Kyle raised his rifle, finger on the trigger. And then, clear as day, we heard a voice. Not a whisper, not an animal mimic. A voice, it said, You shouldn't be here. I dropped the lantern, it hit the ground and went out. We didn't scream, we didn't talk. We just laid there, completely still until morning. When the sun finally came up, we packed in silence. The meat was gone, packs shredded, blood on the leaves, but no tracks. No sign of anything large dragging it off. It was just gone. We hiked out without stopping. Took us 6 hours to get back to the truck. We haven't spoken about it since. Not really. Kyle sold his bow the next week and hasn't gone hunting again. And me, I still hunt, but not there. Never again there.